I will say, I don't think the, you know, I don't think a communications needs to be the most creative person in the room, but they need to be able to know the vision or know where we're going and be able to let those who are being the creators to do it.
Welcome to episode number 187. I thought I needed an echo. And 187 of the Missional Marketing Podcast. There's something in the air today. I'm not really sure. This is the second start of this podcast, but we're going to go. You're both looking at me as if I'm going to start all over, and I'm not. This is it. This is the real deal. So welcome to the show. My name is Bart Blair. I get to be on the team at Missional Marketing, and I get to be the co-host of this podcast, and it is my privilege to welcome you to this episode. We've been producing this podcast for over 6 years with the goal of helping churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communication. Sometimes we talk about marketing. Sometimes we talk about communications. Today, we're going to talk about church communications. In fact, we have a very special guest and a very special episode for you today. Jason, I'll ping things over to you, and why don't you introduce Tika, and you can get things rolling.
Well, thank you, Bart. Yeah, I'm pumped because this is something that's both close, near, and dear to my heart and Tika's heart. So Tika's on our team. She's one of our best coaches when it comes to church communications. Some of you who are listening have worked with Tika, and she's got a laundry list of talent and skills. And she's been a comm director. She's worn a lot of hats in churches. We all do when we work at churches. And we're pumped to have her on the show today because we're going to go deeper into really what makes a great church communications director. And we both sat in that seat. And, you know, we learned all the stupid tacks and made all the mistakes and got to grow from it. So Tika, just for our audience's sake, just share a little bit about you, your family, and your role.
Yeah, I'm Tika. I get the great opportunity to help churches here just get to be, you know, understand their potential. And so I just get to consult with them and just help communications directors grow. I live with my husband and my two-year-old right outside of Philadelphia. So we live in the suburbs now. We used to live in Philadelphia, and now we're living the suburb life, which is a whole different ballgame than city life. But when I was a comms director, it was in Philadelphia. And so I was a comms director for a church there for about 7 years. And I had done comms before that, actually in more of a hospital setting. And so a little bit different, but also you wear lots of different hats in all of the things. And so, yeah that's kind of where I come from and what I get to do. And I love it.
Yeah, we love having her on our team. She jumped on our team. We were blessed to have Tika join us. And it's been fun to watch her just meet with and help churches grow and give them, we're going to tap into this, give them strategy, give them structure, and help navigate those waters. Because it doesn't matter if you've been a comm director for 15 or 20 years or 15 or 20 days, we all need to learn. We all need to be working on our skill sets. We need to be working on our departments and our strategies and our tools and our team. And that never, ever stops. So, Tika, let's start with some strategic things, like big picture thinking. What are some nuggets that you would share to our people listening into this on, you know, becoming a good to great, becoming a great comms director? Strategically, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, this is actually something that I probably had the hardest time as a comms director to do, because you're in the weeds a lot of some of the things. You're just kind of trying to get the task done. But truly, a good comms director is going to be, you know, kind of looking at the big picture, thinking of what the next step's going to be. One great example I always tell my churches, I want you to look at all your events for the year. And as you're looking at them, the one that you're currently working on or promoting, what's that next step? What's that next entry point for someone? How are we being strategic instead of just doing events for the sake of events? How are we thinking more strategic of, oh, we have VBS. Now our next step is going to be maybe something for families. Now we have an event for families, or we have a men's conference or women's conference for the parents to come to. How are we being strategic and making sure that our events are kind of in alignment with where our church is going? in alignment with your mission, in alignment with your vision, your discipleship pathway, really thinking through all those steps.
There can be a tendency to get so deep in the weeds in the week in, week out stuff that you're marketing, promoting, and communicating an event or a ministry or an activity, and you lose sight of the fact that actually you have an overarching responsibility of communicating and marketing the church as a whole ministry, right? Because all these things need to be working together. I think that's really insightful. In our last, I think it was our last episode, it's been a few weeks, Jason actually highlighted this, and Tika, you and I talked about this, which is what sort of inspired us getting on this call. The last episode that we did was about church communications burnout. And one of the comments that Jason made in that episode was that the church communications director or the person who sits in the communications seat is typically the only person in the church who has their eyes on every single event that's on the calendar. And so it is a unique seat. And Tika and I were talking about that, and she's like, that is so very true. When we started brainstorming about different things, and I was like, ooh, we need to bring this to a podcast episode. So that's what we're doing today. And just wanted to bring Tika on to share some of her insights there. So Tika highlighted the fact that one of the most important gifts or skills of a comms director is being a strategic thinker, big picture thinking. Jason, you had something you want to add there?
Yeah. So you just got me thinking. I love doing this stuff. Okay, so you have a working genius. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, Patrick Lencioni, you should look this up, wrote a book called The Six Working Geniuses. Okay, that's a little sidebar. That's a free nugget. Go get the book. Read the book. It's amazing.
It's not a free book, but it's a free nugget.
Go get the book. Not a free book. Not a free book, but a free nugget. It'll tell you you have two working geniuses. Now, my working geniuses are different from Tika's working geniuses. Okay, we all have, God's given us those skill sets. I'm not good at tenacity. I'm good at invention and wondering. But regardless of what your working genius is, what Tika's talking about strategically, everybody can do. Because you can sit down and look at the church-wide calendar and have conversations with your teams, your ministries, I call those your clients. Go have meetings with them to understand what they're wanting to promote, and you can get ahead. Instead of just always playing you're like a hamster on a wheel. It seems every week, Sunday's coming. You need to stop back, go back up here to 30,000 feet and go, what are we going to be doing this month, next quarter, next year? What's that look like? And I can't tell you how many people don't have that ability. They just don't do it. I'm so busy, or I'm a part-timer. I don't have the time. That's just, that's kind of an excuse. You have to do that to stay organized. That's being strategic. What's another strategic thing that comes directors do to become a great comm director?
That's a great question. I think even just understanding, marketing plans or vision, okay, we're understanding the vision passed down by the pastor. And so how can we strategically kind of take this and weave it through our communication, whether it's how we're speaking or whether it's, we're being really strategic about, we're going to be promoting a felt need series. So we're going to think about, oh, this is coming up. Let's slowly kind of drop some things so their hearts are prepared when this does drop. And you're thinking about those things and you're going through those things and you really are kind of stepping out of the, oh, I have to create a graphic. I have to make a social media post. You're really thinking, oh, this is big picture. How can I maybe promote this, whether it's digitally or internally, all of those things. Really just remembering the heart of church, I think.
Yeah, going after the one and helping the 99.
Yeah.
I've got one. We do it here at Missional Marketing. We have what's called a wildly important goal, a WIG. And Bart leads our team to make sure that we're staying on top of our WIG week in and week out. It's what we do every single week. I always encourage churches. Four Disciplines of Execution. Another book. It's not free, but go get it. In that book, they talk about setting a goal. A goal that's not just easily achievable. There's a little bit of a stretch there. As a comms team, I kind of like to do that for church-wide. I've got a church that they're trying to reach a certain amount of first-time guests in a given month. What a great WIG, right? But maybe you might want to put a wildly important goal in your team with your department about what are we trying to strive to and achieve every single week. And maybe you look at it from a month or a quarterly perspective, but having a goal. We don't have goals in mind. We kind of look at what the leadership tells us, which is good. But what are your goals as a team? Do you have any? That right there would be a great exercise to go through to become a great comm director.
That's really good.
So one of the key characteristics that Tika has identified as being, I just want to clarify this. This has been, Tika has a decade or more experience in the seat doing communications, hospital work, medical work, and church work. What's really interesting about what we get to do on our missional marketing and church communications team is that we actually get to spend lots and lots of time with other people in the church space. And so even beyond the years that we've been in ministry, doing the ministry, we have an opportunity to sit alongside other people who are doing it today. Some people who have way more experience than we do, and we can learn from them and glean from them. And it was interesting because when Tika and I were having this conversation about, you know, different church comms directors that she's coaching or consulting with, or even filling in some space with on when people are on leave or doing other things like that, we started talking about, you know, what are the key characteristics? What are the things that make a great communications director a great communications director beyond being a graphic designer? Because like that's like a lot of times it's like you can do graphic design, you should be our communications director. Or you have a degree in English and you can write, you should be our communications director. So beyond those tangible, like measurable skills like that, we're really talking more about soft skills here. So being a strategic thinker, having the ability to do big picture thinking is one of those key characteristics. Tika, the second one that you wrote on our list here, you're going to have to explain it. And you said that a key characteristic of an effective communications director is someone who is empowering. Why don't you unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, this one's going to be a tough one for, I think, a lot of communications directors. But I truly believe that, especially in the church world, you need to be able to empower a team, empower volunteers, kind of let go of the reins a little bit and be able to be that strategic thinker and give the vision to someone else and allow them to kind of execute it and kind of go, you know, run with it and go with it. And this one's really hard for a lot of people because, oh, that graphic might not be 100% up to like where you want it, or the social media might not be like exactly where, you know, I could have done that myself. But in the heart of church and the heart of, you know, how we want to shepherd and care for people, we really want to create a space that people can use their gifts, that they can grow in their gifts, they can grow in their talents. And so really allowing others to be able to serve God within the gifts that they have as well. And on the other end, as a comms director, you have enough on your plate. You need to let other people do some things too. Like, you can't do it all. I'm sorry. Empowering.
It's a gift to yourself.
It is.
I learned that the hard way. And, you know, I'll never forget what my lead pastor said to all of us. If you can't delegate, you're a liability to me. Those who can delegate, those are the ones I want to promote, because they've learned the art of handing off and letting others rise up. And so, yeah, we've got to set aside our perfectionism of like, I would tweak that, you know, strategy, or I would tweak that social media post or that graphic or that video. Come on. I think Craig Groeschel said something about, as long as it's good enough, it's good enough. Like, he has some quote about this. I'm going, you don't have to have stuff be perfect. If it's decent, let it go, right? You have other things to get done. And man, I can't double down that quick enough what you just said there, Tika, because I had a hard time with that. And I had to learn the art of delegation and let other people run with it.
I think there's a cultural problem in the church, whereas the communications role isn't always viewed as a ministry role. And since it's not viewed as a ministry role, you're hired to do. So you never hire a student ministry pastor or director and expect them to do all the work. You expect them to build a team of volunteers. You don't hire a worship pastor and expect them to play all of the instruments. You expect them to build a team. Yet we hire someone to be our communications specialist, and for some reason, we expect them to do all the stuff. And, you know, we've had other guests on our show and have talked about this before, that when you fail to empower people to use their creative gifts on your team, you're actually failing to give people an opportunity to serve the body of Christ with the gifts and the talents that the Lord has given them. You know, they're not necessarily spiritual gifts. Being able to write copy or to edit a video or to, you know, create creative social media posts isn't necessarily a spiritual gift. But sometimes those talents are the things that people really need to be able to employ in the context of the church to really feel like they have ownership and they're contributing to the overall mission and ministry in the church. So that's true. Empowering is the second characteristic. For the sake of time, I want to keep us motoring through here. This one, no one will argue with this one, but a lot of you might have a problem with the next one. And that is that a great communications director needs to be organized. Organizational skills are a key characteristic of a good comms director. Now, why would you say that, Tika? Why do you think that's important?
Well, you see, if you're not organized and the 50 events that are flying in are never going to get done on time. I think any comms director knows that organization is going to be key for their success. I think a lot of times the problem is it takes time to get organized sometimes, and having the right tools and having the right systems in place can be complicated, or you feel like, I don't have time to do this. I'm just going to, whatever pops into my head, I'm going to just post it, you know, things like that. Yeah. But honestly, organization is going to save you in the long run. It's going to help you be successful. It's going to allow you space to use, you know, all some of these other characteristics we're going to talk about. It's going to create space for those. And there's just, you're wearing a lot of hats. You're balancing a lot of plates. You have to be organized.
Well, I'm not that guy. That's not my giftedness, is being tenacious of getting stuff done, right? I work at it, and I've learned if you want to create a habit or break a habit, do it for 30 days or don't do it for 30 days. You want to read your Bible every day for 30 days. It'll start to become a habit. Pray for 30 days. Stay organized. Look at your task list every single day for 30 straight days. And it'll become a habit for you. But another thing you could do is go ahead and empower somebody who can help you stay organized. Somebody who else is like, like Tika, you're hired because she's phenomenally organized, right? And I'm not. And I would empower Tika, help us stay organized. And that could be a volunteer. It could be a part-time person. You know, it could be a contractor that you work with. If you can get some money to hire a contractor, even for 5 hours a week, somebody who has that skill set, I work on it myself, but I understand I'm not naturally gifted at that kind of work, but I understand it has to get done. So there's no, I'm not really organized, so I'll just, no, don't just push that aside. Get some help. Empower somebody.
And if you're not organized and you have a team, you're kind of causing some tension, you know? Like, you have to, as a leader, like, you do have to have some organization so your team feels like there's some structure and they're cared for it. And it all just flows. Leader,
man, because that's becoming a great church communication director. Well, right there.
Yes. You don't have this on your list, but I'm going to add this characteristic. What? because if you're not self-aware, it's hard for you to recognize when your organizational skills or your lack of organizational skills are actually creating a challenge or barriers to getting things done well in your church. And I don't think it's really difficult to be strategic if you're not organized, because when you're looking at building strategies, developing strategies, especially if you're in a seat where you have to lead up in order to deploy those strategies, you were talking about events and activities and trying to tie them together and having one thing lead to the next. That takes strategic thinking, but it also takes organizational skills. Because if you don't have the organizational skills, you'll never be able to put the pieces in order and get the stuff done in a way and in a time frame that allows you to execute on that strategy. So, but then having the self-awareness of knowing where your strengths are and where your deficiencies are, so that you can, whether it's through paid staff or bringing on volunteers to offset your weaknesses there, self-awareness is key, right?
So another free nugget. If you don't know if you are self-aware, ask the people you work with. You have them permission to tell you the truth.
You'd be ask people who are trustworthy. Yes, ask the people you trust the most. Hey, I'm going to interrupt the podcast here. I hope that you are enjoying the conversation between Jason and Tika and myself. But I had something that I wanted to jump in and share with you here real quickly. Now, don't fast forward and don't skip. This is not an advertisement. It's actually a little interview within our interview. I actually had a recent opportunity to get on a Zoom call with a pastor who lives on the complete opposite side of the planet of me. His name is Mark Penrith, and he happens to be a listener to the Missional Marketing Podcast. And he sent me an email out of the blue one day saying that he had been listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast. He'd been implementing the things that he'd been learning in the podcast, and he was actually seeing some growth in his church. And I thought, well, let me get on a call with this guy, Mark, see if he's credible, see what his story tells us. And I recorded the conversation that we had, and I wanted to share it with you here. So I know this is a little bit of a disruption in terms of the conversation that we were having with Tika, but I hope that you will find this to be encouraging and helpful. And hey, if you're having success with the things that you're implementing in the context of your ministry with marketing and communications based on the things that you're learning, we'd love to hear from you too. Anyway, here's a quick little interview with my new friend, Mark Penrith. So you're in South Africa.
I'm in South Africa. Yeah. Okay. So born in South Africa, raised in South Africa, and didn't intend to go into ministry. But after about 15 years in business, maybe a little bit longer, I felt called into the ministry, and my wife eventually agreed. and so we went into ministry. And of course, you know, in ministry, you don't know what you don't know. And I mean, part of what you don't know is how to, you know, tell the world who you are and kind of make your congregation known to your city. And so I enjoy podcasts, listen to podcasts while I walk my dog. And I came across your podcast. I think I was trying to remember why I originally found missional marketing. You might remember, but did you do an episode on internal communication, kind of like emailing and kind of best practices?
Yeah.
And I listened to that episode. It was really helpful. As a pastor, you know how to preach, and you've got some theology, and you've got some dreams and some vision, but you don't necessarily know how to speak to the people in your church. You don't necessarily know how to do a website. I have some technical skills, but wasn't too sure on how to go about implementing them. And listened to an episode on internal marketing. I think it was internal communication, how to write better emails and that kind of thing. And ended up using what you had said, put together a kind of a blogging, emailing system, building up a bit of a database that worked. And then as I've been listening to missional marketing, I've been applying. So I think last week I listened to an episode on like move your give button from the top right hand corner, and it should be a visit us button. And I was like, yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense. And you spoke about photos, and I was like, yeah, okay, we've got a holiday Bible Club banner. Let's put some photos of people. And so after I did that, I thought I'd just drop you a line and say thank you very much. Really appreciate the ministry, and you've been helpful to me.
Well, it's great for us to hear. I popped over to your website, and it is chock full of photos. So I was appreciative of that. I was like, this guy's listening to the podcast, because it is a bunch of containers of photos. How long have you been serving at the church where you're leading right now?
So this is my third assignment.
Okay.
The church that I'm at the moment, I've been here for 2 years, over 2 years. I came to a church where the average age was 69.
Okay.
Maybe about 100 in attendance. Faithful, godly people, love Jesus, warm congregation. I was so grateful to come, so grateful to join them. But realized that we needed to reach our city. And over the last 2.5 years, God has been really kind to us. About 2/3 of the congregation is now brand new. Our average age is just under 40, in that kind of range. And the congregation has grown substantially to the point where we're dreaming of planting a church.
That is amazing. Yeah, you're speaking my love language there. So what was your weekend average weekend attendance when you arrived at the church?
The first Sunday we recorded was 120, and you know, I think off the back of the COVID years, a church which had aged quite a bit before COVID, came through COVID and bounced back in terms of attendance, but never to maybe highs that it had experienced in the past. And there had been quite a lot of attrition of the younger generations to the more vibrant communities around us. Mm-hmm. You know, without kind of outing anyone's theological persuasions, but maybe churches which had more to offer youth and young adults. So coming into that, I'm blessed. I'm the father of three children, a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So my family was kind of in the sweet spot, although I think the past in the right age is never a silver bullet for change. But we started to attract young adults quite quickly. And not only did we attract them, we started to retain them off the back of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Google in particular, Google Places, or whatever they call it now, business places profile. or business profile. Yeah. I think off the back of those social medias, we started to really attract people. Worked hard on that website.
Yeah.
And kind of just really made it known to the city around us that we were a conservative evangelical church with the city in mind. And God's been good.
Yeah, so you mentioned in the email, although I can't remember the numbers, you said the church has actually grown quite a bit since you've been there. What's your weekend attendance now?
Yeah, so 250.
Okay.
And our membership is sitting at 195 with about 20 people in the pipeline. We're dreaming of planting when we get to 265 members. So, okay. In January, we actually put that vision down on paper and presented it to the church and got church buy-in. We're a Baptist church, so congregational buy-in. And at that time, I think we were about 180 members. And so, about 40 in the last 6 months. And if we carry on with that growth, possibly by the end of the year, we'll have reached that threshold. There's a couple of other milestones that we have planned, but that's the dream would be to plant in our city a couple of times.
What does the evangelical landscape in your part of South Africa look like? What are the things that you're kind of contending with as a church that's trying to reach the community? I think most of our listeners, most of our audience is probably in North America, the United States, and Canada. How would you describe or define kind of the evangelical landscape in South Africa?
Sure. So South Africa, I think, probably follows some of the trends in the States. American culture is probably your biggest export.
Okay.
And so I would say a lot of what you see in the States, you would see on South African shores, but maybe in an African context, you know, some things work and some things don't. Africa generally, and I'm not just talking South Africa, but all the way up, has been heavily influenced by the prosperity gospel. And that's really caused massive damage on a continent where there's huge amounts of poverty, huge amounts of injustice of every kind. The prosperity gospel has certainly wreaked havoc across the board. But at the same time, our American friends through organizations like Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, Gospel Coalition, Grace Community Church, and an organization, Grace Advance, have made huge inroads in suburban township churches, and I would say that there is some healthy evangelical upswing happening in South Africa. When I talk to friends, it seems that there are a number of conservative churches which people are flocking to off the back of maybe disillusionment of the last 20 years. Kind of big tent Eva arrived, I think, in about the 1980s, 1990s on South African shores. And people certainly have flocked to those large kind of mega church styled places. But I would say over the last 10 years, there's a renewed interest in in Bible teaching, expository preaching kind of works. And I would sit in that tribe.
Sure. What's the community like that you're actually in? Is it a larger community, smaller community, mid-size? How would you describe that?
Yeah, so if you're aware of South Africa at all, kind of capital city is Pretoria. Just below Pretoria is a very large city, Johannesburg. And it's made up of multiple metros, all of which are really close to one another. I'm in the Eastern Metro. It's called Ekurhuleni, and I'm in a city called Benoni. The suburb I stay in is a white collar suburb. The city itself is quite sprawling, so a couple of million people. There are sections of it which are impoverished, like really, really poor. So even in the church that I serve, there will be folk who are wealthy by any standard, first world or by any standard. And then we have folk who are homeless, who stay down at the local dam and come to church on Sundays. And we're involved in supporting them to whatever degree we can. So a really large cross-section, although that's quite new for this particular church. I would say 2 years ago, it was a very homogenous church. Now, 2 years later, there's quite a lot more diversity. It's starting to reflect its city in every increasing measure.
Yeah.
And that might be a kind of a missional distinctive there.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Let's go back to just maybe for a couple of minutes, some of the things that you've learned from listening to the podcast that you've found to be really helpful as it relates to leveraging your digital presence and reaching the demographic and the generation of the community that you think you want to reach. Any particular things stand out? You talked about updating photos on the website, using your Google Business Profile. Those are things that we harp on a lot. So if anybody's listened to our podcast for more than 7 minutes, they've probably heard multiple times that they need to be doing that. And our church partners, the ones that we meet with on a regular basis, they get that all the time as well. Anything else stand out to you that has been particularly helpful?
So, in terms of people arriving through our doors, like on any given Sunday, we have multiple families visiting. Almost all of them hit Google first, and then through Google hit our website. And so a website which is focused on kind of visitor first, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. Rather than insider language with an insider focus, that's been really helpful for us to think through. And I've done a lot of work, and that was a bit of change for me, because I think when I first put a website together for a church, I thought of members that had been there forever first. But we've tried to tailor the website to those who are checking us out for the first time. I would say the idea of images, lots of photos of real people in real services. So we've stopped putting a lot of kind of invites to, I don't know, bring in shares. I guess you guys might call it potluck. We've stopped putting our invites onto our social medias. In fact, we purged our social medias of all of that kind of stuff. And we now post maybe 4 or 5 photos from each Sunday. So there's a growing catalog of photos of our services online. That's been really, really helpful. And then the simple stuff that you guys speak about often, just making sure that your information is up to date, service times are right and visible. How to find the place, the address, all of those kinds of things, which are now fairly self-evident to me that they work. But maybe when I started looking at the website, it wasn't as obvious. And so those kinds of things have been really, really helpful.
I hope that you found that conversation to be encouraging. I certainly did. And well, let's get back to our regularly scheduled program with Jason and Tika. All right, next one on the list. And this is the one that I think everybody would have probably said should be number one. But, you know, for whatever reason, you made it number 4 on the list. I don't know if these are in any particular pecking order. But the next one is creative. A great communications director needs to be creative. What kind of creativity are you talking about here?
Well, I will say, I don't think a communications needs to be the most creative person in the room, but I think there needs to be some kind of creativity. Just even thinking of thinking of how to do things maybe a little differently, or even from a, you know, design photography standpoint, being able, they might not be the best designer or photographer, but they need to be able to know the vision or know where we're going and be able to let those who are being the creators to do it. I had some very talented graphic designers that I oversaw, and they were way better at designing than I was, but I was able to give the vision, give the critique, make those adjustments. Sweet. But they had way better skills than I did.
I would agree with that, because I think part of the church's problem is we're a house of brands and not a branded house. And you, as the comm director, you need to advocate to have a branded house, not a whole bunch of brands inside your house. You won't get the momentum that other churches have when they have a branded house. And sometimes when I think of creative, I don't necessarily always think about a design per se, but momentum. Having strategy and momentum. And this is where we're trying to head. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And that's all part of that creative environment. So yeah, I think all three of us are creative in a sense, right? God's given us different levels of creativity. And I think we're all, Tika, you're way better than us, but graphic design. I mean, I have an eye for graphic design. So does Bart. And you are a professional graphic design person. God's given you those tools. But I think we have to have some level of that, because that's required. You can't just be absent of that. And if you are absent of that, you need to be strategic in how do you get around that hurdle? Because I agree with you. You got to have that idea of creativity that comes from the Lord.
Yeah. And even just the space for creativity, right? Like event planning. I love a good creative meeting where we can just blue sky, sky's the limit. Let's have this space to just be creative. You don't always get that again because you're trying to get things done. You're just trying to do the task. But having space to just be creative, bring people in who are creatives that can kind of just think and dream is really exciting. They don't always have to be the one that executes the thing, but they can be in this space to kind of, let's make this better. Let's think of all these different options that we can do. And that's another opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to say we had Tyler Mount from Providence Church, the pastor of creative engagement. I think that's his title. And we had it on our show. Actually, by the time this podcast episode drops, I found out today that Tyler is moving to a new church in Atlanta. So I just found out that today. So Tyler, if you have
congratulations, Tyler.
Congratulations on a new opportunity. I'm sure that Providence is going to miss you a ton. Anyway, one of the things that Tyler said on our episode when we recorded was, he said, I'm not a graphic designer, but I know good graphic design when I see it. And I think that part of the creative eye, the creative mind, is being able to recognize it, to see it. And as you said, Tika, to be able to give the feedback that your other creatives need to help accomplish the vision that you and your leadership team are trying to accomplish. And creativity comes in so many different ways, right? You can be a creative writer, you can be a creative thinker, you can be an ideator, you can be a graphic designer or a filmmaker. You're a great photographer as well. Like I have cameras, but the photos that I take don't look as good as the photos you take. Part of that is just technical skill, and part of it is just having an eye for how you frame a photo. So creativity comes in a lot of different ways, but certainly creativity is a big part of being in the role of a communications director. Otherwise, you're really probably more of an administrator than you are a communications director, right? And there's a room for that spot on the church. Maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, well, I'm not really a creative person, but I'm really good at getting the stuff done. This is not meant as a criticism at all if you're not necessarily a highly creative person, because, well, sometimes creative people have a harder time getting stuff done and they need people on their team that can get the stuff done. So don't take that as a knock. It's just a reality of really, especially if you're in a mid-size or larger church, being able to have those creative skills can really be a benefit to your team. The last one here, which I actually think, they're all, I think, really important. But this last characteristic that you put here, I think, is not just true of a communications director. It's actually true of anyone who serves on a church staff, okay? And that is, Tika says, an effective comms director needs to be adaptable. adaptable. And I would say that really applies to anybody who's like church staff. You need to be adaptable. But why don't you talk a little bit about why you think that's so important for a communications director?
Yeah, I think being adaptable is so important. And it's hard sometimes when if you're being strategic and you have a plan and you have things are going and then something changes, that can be really hard for some people and some comms directors. And sometimes you just have to give that frustration to God and you got to be adaptable. You got to have space for changes. Things change. Now, if things are changing like all the time, maybe you might have need to have a conversation with someone. There's a difference, you know, there's a difference there. But, you know, there's space for if you're planning well and maybe a really big, awesome God opportunity comes to your church, be adaptable. Let's do this thing. Let's get this thing going. COVID was an amazing example of how to be adaptable. That was probably most of us found out if we were good at, you know, transitioning. I always think of the Friends episode with the couch and pivoting and them yelling pivot. That's what comes to my mind every single time. But just being able to pivot, adapt, it's church. Like, just it's we got to take it down a little bit. It's church. Like, we're doing this for Jesus. Like, let some things go. Don't hold on things too tight. And just allow kind of, you know, things to happen and work if they need to.
What great advice. I love that word. I'd also frame another word right next to it called being a servant leader.
Yeah.
We're all called to be servant leaders and we're all called to extend grace when grace is needed. And sometimes, you know, it's the ministries we serve. And I saw myself as they're my clients and I need to take care of them. You know, of course, my lead pastor was my number one client, but I worked the way down the list of everybody and everybody mattered. Everybody mattered. And so I just wanted to be a servant leader to all. And sometimes I had to like, you know, swallow my pride a little bit or certainly apologize when I mess up because that happened a lot. I'd stumble over myself. But when they messed up or they changed things, instead of getting all, you know, puffy and arrogant and, you know, use wrong language and those thoughts, man, I just had to say, I'm a servant leader. It's going to be okay. God's still in control and the event will go on or whatever will happen, it'll happen. It's fine. Jesus is still king. But I say sometimes if you get in the heated moment, you say stuff or you send an email that you would regret that. Just check yourself. And that just comes with a posture, I think, always working on it. Some of us have the giftedness of always doing that. And some of us, not so much. We need to work on it. And self-awareness is probably one of those things as well. It all wraps in a bow. But yeah, I like that word.
You're not a doormat, but you do need to be adaptable.
Yeah. I mean, our goal is to see our church grow. Sometimes that, you know, different seasons of growth look differently in different churches, right?
Yeah.
But as the church grows, as it expands, as the community around us that we're trying to reach changes and morphs, adaptability is going to be huge. You can't expect to be doing the same thing the same way all the time. We're not making widgets here. We're dealing with people. And when you're dealing with people, we're also dealing with platforms that we don't control, right? A big part of what you do as a communications director is built around like social media platforms and YouTube and platforms that you don't have a whole lot of control over. So adaptability is important. You're dealing with cultural shifts and cultural changes and the way that people receive different messaging in different times, right? And as you're writing copy and doing communications from an external standpoint, you've got to be adaptable. And then, of course, there are things internally that sometimes change in your church. I've got a couple of churches that I'm working with right now that are going through significant leadership transitions. We have retiring pastors who have been longtime beloved pastors. And the culture of the church is going to change internally as they bring on new leaders. And they're going to have to start working with a new leader. And adaptability is going to be one of the key elements, one of the key characteristics that they bring to ensuring that they can bring that new pastor's vision to life in the context of the church. So a really important word here from Tika today, those five characteristics, in case you missed them, are being, and so if you want to be a great comms director, you got to be strategic, you got to be empowering, you got to be organized, you got to be creative, and you got to be adaptable. Now, I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to give both of you an opportunity to have a last word to our audience today. We'll start with you, Jason, and then we'll finish with Miss Tika.
Oh, boy. These are the kinds of traits that you really want to sink into if you want to become a great communications director. And that's not going to happen overnight, and you're not going to naturally get there. I think you've got to really work towards it. And the Lord calls us to serve Him with excellence. Now, that's all subject up to, you know, define excellence. It's what you do. You try your best type of a thing. I would say, just in a last parting shot, come to our conference in the end of September. We've got a church communications conference in Kansas City. We're going to dive into this stuff. You're going to be surrounded by other comm directors who are going to love on you, but you can build relationships with them and they'll tell you truth, right? Because you want to share truth with them. So register for the church communications conference. We're really pumped to get that put on. It's September 23rd to the 25th in Kansas City.
Tika, your parting shot?
Oh my goodness. I think, you know, ministry is a calling. You have to be called to do ministry. And there's a lot that goes into it, but I just want to remind all my comms directors, like, you're called, you're here, you know, for a reason, you got this. And just, you know, surround yourself with, find other comms directors and networks, and just really, sometimes it's a little isolating. It can feel like you're in a little bit of a silo. And so, you know, just be able to kind of surround yourself by other people who will understand you and just be able to kind of help speak life into you as well. But yeah, you got this. You're doing a great job. Now you can just kind of work, get a little better.
I'm gonna give you all homework. Okay, here's your homework, and I'm gonna recommend another book, and which is also not free. There's a book that Ken Coleman wrote called The Proximity Principle, and in the book he really talks about how if you want to change, if you want to grow, if there's certain elements of your life and your character that you want to see morphed, one of the best ways to do that is spend time around people who embody those things. And so if you're not necessarily naturally a strategic thinker, or if you're not the most organized person, or any of these other characteristics, make a list of the people who you think embody that, and then figure out how you can spend more time with them. Because if you see somebody who's really strategic in their thinking, and you can spend more time with them, and you can have them actually mentor you, and they don't even have to be a comms director. They can be anybody that you know in your life who embodies these characteristics. Spend more time with those people, and you'll have an opportunity to grow in those areas. Now, I'm going to actually shout out one more book, and it's called Reaching the One. Now, Jason, you and I, we're really good marketers, but we've actually been really terrible self-promoters. Jason and I released a book this summer called Reaching the One, A Guide to Digital Outreach and Evangelism for the Local Church. Now, if you want to buy a copy, you can go over to Amazon and you can find this there. We'll link to it in the show notes. But if you want a free copy, come to our conference, because everybody who comes to our church communications conference will have an opportunity to be given a book. And Jason might even autograph it for you. I don't know. We'll see. That might be worth something someday or not. But the feedback that we've gotten on the book so far has been that it's been really, really helpful for the people who have had an opportunity to read it, which at this point hasn't been a whole lot of people, because we haven't really done a whole lot to promote it. We've given away a lot of copies, but we want to give one to you. So if you come to the Church Communications Conference, September 23rd to 25th, we'll meet you there and we'll give you a copy of the book. Now, we know that as this podcast is being released, this episode is being released, you're probably pretty tight on time. If you happen to live in the greater Kansas City area, say within a couple of hours drive away, we actually do have a one-day pass available for the conference, which will be on the Thursday, which is the 24th. We have an evening event on Wednesday, the 23rd, all day on Thursday, the 24th, and then a half day on Friday, the 25th. So if you just want to come in and out for the one day, because you're within driving distance, you can do that. All the information is on our website, churchcommunications.com, or you can fire us a note, an email, or give us a call, and we'll help you out in whatever way we can, point you in the right direction. Tika, so glad you're on our team. Thanks for being on the show today. For those of you who made it all the way here to the end, thank you. This has been episode number 187. 777. There's the echo. It comes back every time I say it. And just a reminder that we are incredibly inconsistent with releasing podcast episodes, but we're trying to do better. But because we're inconsistent, it'd be a really good idea for you to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes. Because if we go a week or two without one, you might forget we exist. But if you have subscribed, then you know your Spotify or your Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, it'll automatically download it to your phone so you won't miss any future episodes. So we hope that you'll do that. Thanks for tuning into the show, and we'll see you all the next time.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.